Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
For the Lord preserveth the faithful. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. If your hope is in this world, it's going to be dismay and discouragement. But if your hope is in Jesus Christ, when other people are crying, you're shouting and praising the name of the Lord, because that's where my hope is.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
We pray this recent sermon series has been a blessing to you. Let's go back into the message, Hope for Hard Times. This is part two from that series. Let's get back into the message with Pastor Rogers today.
You think what's going on in the streets is something right now? This is a cakewalk compared to what the Bible says is coming upon this earth. That alone ought to make you want to get ready and take as many people with you. That is the blessed hope. This is the blessed hope of the return of Jesus Christ. This is not what the world calls hope, which is wistful thinking. I hope my brother comes over. I hope I get this job. I hope this. I hope that. We use that term so flippantly, but that's not biblical hope. The world's hope is empty and without faith and confidence in something absolute, which is the cross of Jesus Christ and the absolute assurance. That cross and what Jesus did on the cross is the faith and the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Why is that so important? Because what Jesus Christ did on the cross for me and for you and every person on this planet is the assurance that he will keep his word to 1,000 generations. It's important, not just his crucifixion, which is the assurance, the down payment, but his resurrection as being the first fruits from the dead gives me assurance that if he could pick up his own body, surely he can pick up mine on resurrection morning. Many are not enduring sound doctrine in these last days. And they opt out for feelings instead of faith. Rather than embrace biblical truth, one of the signs of the last days would be that people would reject truth and receive a lie and be deceived. And they would heap to themselves, as Paul told Timothy, teachers having itching ears. Tell me, preacher, teacher, prophet, whoever you are, tell me what I want to hear. Prophesy to me good things in the face of all that's taking place. Tell me what I want to hear. Teachers having itching ears. I want to let you know that if you're looking for an excuse to not serve the Lord, the enemy will give you more than what you could ever have. It is into that vacuum that Satan deceives many people already. And I submit to you today, without having a physical mark on their right hand or in their forehead, many people have already, by virtue of the spirit of Antichrist, taken up the mark of the beast. Because they've already embraced the system. They've already embraced the doctrine. Did you know that the devil has doctrine? The Bible says that he is full of doctrine. It's important for you to understand this in light of the passage of scripture that on Tuesday of this week I will recite and quote over the life and memory of our beloved friend and member of this church, James Simmons, who went home to be with the Lord a few days ago. Like every other believer that I have preached their funeral, I quote the passage of scripture, and I want you to open up to your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're going to go there in a moment. But I want you to understand, I'll quote this, but I can only quote this passage of scripture over an individual that I can have full assurance that they have lived their life pleasing to God and have left enough evidence behind of their salvation experience that I can quote it with assurance that Jesus will come and take them out of the grave. It's important for you to understand the background of what's going on at the Thessalonian church in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Here's the background. Paul planted the church as the pastor of the church. He planted the church at Thessalonica And there were two associates that were with him, Timothy and Silas, that Timothy was his understudy. He was the mentee. Paul was the mentor. Silas was a sidekick with Paul that went with him in many locations. And they were with him. After they had passed by several different locations that you'll find in the book of Acts chapter 17, of which they did not plant churches there, but by the order of the Holy Spirit, Paul planted the church at Thessalonica. The Bible said he preached in the synagogues, and many Jews were converted to Jesus Christ, even some Greeks. But the preaching of the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ caused many that were there in the city of Thessalonica to get in an uproar, and the church asked Paul, be careful, you're in a place where they could kill you. It might be better for you to leave town. So Paul leaves town with Timothy and Silas, and they go towards Athens, and Timothy and Silas go in a different direction. And after a few months goes by of that church being planted there, Paul contacts Timothy, his mentee, and says, I need you to go back to the church at Thessalonica and check on, see how they're doing. Go over there and find out what's going on. And when Timothy then with Silas met up with Paul in Athens or in Corinth, and he met there and they had a discussion, Timothy brings the report, the church at Thessalonica is doing well. Well, that's wonderful. In the city where it's planted, where that's located, it was hell and evil on earth with false preachers and false prophets. In fact, Paul turns around and writes a letter of encouragement, instruction, and doctrine back to the church at Thessalonica. And you find that in your Bible in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. He writes to encourage them, but he also writes to give them clear instruction because he found out that many of them were listening to false teachers and false prophets and false preachers that had come into the church at Thessalonica and sowed the seeds of a robbery of hope from them for their dead loved ones rising from the dead in that great blessed hope return of Jesus Christ. In fact, they told the people at the church at Thessalonica, these false preachers did, that there's no resurrection from the dead and that when your loved one died, they're staying in the grave and that's all there is, dust to dust, dust, ashes to ashes. But Paul said that's not true. He said to them, I've got to straighten this out. So he sends the letter. I want you to know that every false preacher and false prophet don't stand behind a pulpit. Some of them are coming on your nightly news and on the internet to try to steal hope from you that there is a return of Jesus Christ. If Satan could do anything, he would steal that one thing from you. He'd let you go to church every week if you would even go to church. He would let you go on about your business and do what you want to do and even act like you're serving the Lord. But without hope, which one of us would remain in this place to lift our hands and sing about a heaven that we would never see? I want you to know hope is critical to your faith and faith is critical to your hope. And whenever Paul wrote about to the Thessalonians and concerning the conditions that were all around there and the fact that this false doctrine was starting to take seed inside of the house, much like today when false teachers come and tell you that the rapture won't happen until the middle of the tribulation, that's directly contrary to the writings of the Apostle Paul and the doctrines from the Word of God. The believers there started questioning, just like today, is Jesus coming back? Is there any hope of the resurrection? This, my friend, is a tactic of the devil in these last days. Consider 1 Corinthians 15 and 19, where he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If I knew that what's going on all around our country, I had to continue to endure for years to come until I die, and then there's no hope of heaven, then ladies and gentlemen, just forget it right now. Let's live, party, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But the only reason why you're sitting in this building, whether you understand that or not, is the fact that you know at any moment, at any second, at any millisecond, any nanosecond, Jesus Christ is going to come. And that's the one element that kept the church and the early church moving in the direction of winning the lost and lifting up Jesus Christ and living a life pure before God, because they knew at any moment Jesus could come again. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. In other words, there's going to be a time, and there is right now, where people are going to begin to talk to you about why you have that look on your face of hope and encouragement in the middle of all this mess. I can assure you that I have witnessed, and you've listened to it in recent days, where people and commentators and news commentators have gotten on trying to mock Jesus, and they're trying to pull him down, and they're saying he's not perfect, and all these things that are going on. My dear friend, I want you to understand, that kind of robbing of hope is not what the Bible says right here. That's Satan's tactic. In the book of Romans, flip over there to Romans. Hold your finger on 1 Thessalonians and go to Romans chapter 5. Because I want you to understand, when God makes a promise, it's not an idle promise, and it's not just something he's saying to fill air. When God makes you a promise, it's not something that some false prophet said, I believe God's going to do this and I believe God's going to do that. I want you to know, if you're going to believe anything in this hour, you better believe this book right here and everything that comes out of it. And rest assured that you won't hear this preached perhaps behind most pulpits, that if I say something that's not lining up with the Word, feel free to send me an email and let me know what you are reading in the Word of God. Because I can tell you, the only thing I've got is the Word right here. And I'll tell you, the pressing word today is, hold on to your hope, my dear friend. Jesus is about to return. I don't know if that's true. Well, let me say this to you from Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified, this is the gospel in five verses. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand. Watch this. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. I warn you, never pray for patience. Lord, give me patience. You know what you're going to get? Tribulation. I can assure you, you'll have enough tribulation without you praying for it. But he said it is that tribulation that's working patience in you. Patience. Wait for it. Patience. And what does patience bring? Patience brings experience. Too many people want to jump from this straight up the ladder to this. Are you hearing me? Too many people want to comp out on the experience that they need to get there. I want the paycheck and the title, but I don't want to have to go through anything to get there. The devil is a liar. You can't appreciate what God has done in your life until you've walked through some hard places in your life. Have I got a witness in this place right here? See, and let me just say this to you. It is the experiences of life and the trials that I go through that actually make me excited to get out of here. Because I know where this world is going, and I also know where I'm going. And with or without you, I'm going to go. Look at somebody and tell them, this could be the day. Yeah, you said that like you believed it. Look at somebody and tell them, this could be the day. Yeah, and patience works experience, and experience hope. And what does hope do for us, Paul? Hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. You know what he said? After all of that tribulation, after all of that patience, after all your waiting, after all of your experiences that you've gone through, the mountains and the valleys that Pastor T was talking about and they were singing about a few moments ago, after all of that experience that you've had in your life, there is a hope that will not pull the rug out from underneath you. If Jesus said, I'm coming again, then you better be looking for him. I want you to know that your family members may say, I'll show up at 4 o'clock, and they'll be 2 hours late. There'll be somebody that will promise you that I'll be here and I'll do this and I'll do that. But when Jesus makes a promise, he said it will not leave you ashamed. You won't be holding the bag whenever the rapture takes place. If I said I'm coming to get you, then all you got to do is get ready, because in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man is coming.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the Word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, Remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.